You know, God's been doing great things with our kids and with our youth. Isn't it wonderful? Have you heard some of the things? He's touching them. They were, I think, in the one meeting last night or maybe this morning, they were all prophesying over each other. Somebody was saying that they couldn't even do anything else because there was a spirit of prophecy and the youth were all prophesying and speaking to each other and sharing words. Love it. So powerful. And watching all these kids up here tonight, isn't it powerful? It's so touching and moving. And Jen and Adam, you know what? And all the teachers, make sure you thank them and tell them they're awesome because they did a great job. I see Adam here. Jen's already out. But thanks, guys, for stepping up. Really, seriously. Big, big thank you, Justine, for recruiting so aggressively. It's wonderful. It's all good. I noticed that that also, you know, I think the number of AMP people, you must have done that all at AMP. Yeah. Yeah, because a number of people were all AMP students, so good stuff. Anyway, tonight we're going to do something a little different. Different is good, right? And I want to just tell you, though, I don't think we mentioned this yet, but the offering was just over $6,000, so praise God. So, yeah, praise the Lord, right? So enough to cover the shortfall and a bit more for some seed money for next year. So that's exciting. And I was talking to Dave Wells earlier, and I said to Dave, you know what? I'm just really relieved because this is kind of the first camp on my watch, and you know, it's not a deficit. So I felt really good about that. You know, because the review's coming up, and just wouldn't want to have that in my file. So anyway, I just want to say also thank you to everyone that all of you for, you know, chipping in and doing your part and serving. And I think of all the worship teams. I mean, it's hard to name everybody, but pretty much everyone here did something as far as, you know, that we had. Thank you, Ryan, for organizing the worship and all the worship teams. Largent, thank you. Organizing the worship and all the worship people that did that and served us. All the people that spoke and shared and wonderful. And like I said, all of you, for everything you did to serve and do the things during the week. So thank you very much. Makes it successful. So I want to just share something real quick. I don't want to talk for long because we actually are going to have 7 for 5 tonight. 7 speakers for 5 minutes each. So I've talked to these people. And it's you know, actually, the short thing is tougher. Anybody that's a speaker or preacher knows. You say 5 minutes, like 5 minutes, I can't even barely get into my, you know, early jokes with 5 minutes, but 5 minutes. So we're going to do that because we want to hear what God has been doing and what he's saying. And I think you're really going to enjoy hearing these guys. But I did want to share a scripture with you, which kind of explains why what we do tonight when we share with each other and when we bring something, why that's so important. And I think it also speaks to what Dave was talking about last night when he talked about apathy and why we don't engage, you know, with church and maybe sometimes we pull back from community. I think it's because, and Dave and I were out for breakfast, I think it was yesterday, and it was kind of a tradition because Dave and Keith Hazel, his predecessor, would go for breakfast. So then Dave said to me, hey, and you want to go for breakfast? Hey, I'm never going to turn down a free breakfast, right? Especially with Dave Wells. So we went out for breakfast, and we got talking a little bit about this whole idea of people engaging and, you know, just passivity and that kind of thing. And so we were looking at Hebrews 10. And I want to just encourage you to turn to Hebrews 10 tonight, either on your phone or if you got your physical Bible with you. And I want to look at a passage of Scripture real quick that I think is really important for us to understand when it comes to why we engage and why we bring something to the table when we get together. And, you know, in my Bible, you know, back just before Hebrews 10:19, it says a call to persevere. And so this whole part of Hebrews 10 is a call to persevere, which is what Dave was talking about last night when he talked about pushing through passivity, when he talked about doing the things you don't want to do. This is coming from Hebrews 10, which is challenging us to persevere. And the first part there, verse 19 and 20, it's talking about, you know, Jesus who's entered the most holy place. We have confidence. Let me read it. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So this is talking about our positional truth of what Jesus has done and how he's enabled us to be cleansed and to be in relation with him. This is powerful. And then it goes on right here and it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. In other words, let us hold unswervingly to that hope. Let's hold to what Jesus has done for us. Let's make sure we're pursuing all that he's called us to do. And for he who promises faithful, and here's a big one, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I love this passage, and, you know, often we use it, obviously, to encourage people to get together. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We know that in our culture, people are going to church less. We know that's a tendency. So this is a good passage to encourage us to get together. But I think there is something here that we can miss. And that is why we're to get together. You know, and often, you know, if you're like me, we can think of, well, when I get together with other believers, it's, you know, it's for me. It's for me to be built up. It's for me to be encouraged. You know, one of the perfect examples of this in my life is when I was in Bible school, and I went to Portland Bible College. I mentioned that. And Nathan Breitop also went there. We shared that. I actually went over to him tonight and asked him if what I'm going to tell you we had to do, if he had to do it. And he didn't. Wow, slackers at that school now. Can't believe it. But anyway, when I was there, you had to report, you know, that you went to church on Sunday. It was all part of your grades and your progress in your class was whether you actually went to church and also whether you went to a home group every 2 weeks. And that's what they didn't have to do. They didn't have to do that. I was shocked. Standards are dropping. But anyway, so when I was there, you had to go every 2 weeks to a home group. And I was telling Dave about this yesterday. You know, so as a Bible college student, you know, think about it. You got chapel like 3 times a week. You're in Bible classes all day. You're studying the Word all the time. So when they said to us, you know, every 2 weeks you need to go to a home group, I was 19 years old. So what I thought was, I don't need a home group. Well, my immediate thought was, I kind of had an attitude. I thought, why do I need a home group? I'm sitting in chapel, I'm in Bible classes all week. I don't need a home group. And then I remember the words from the instructor that just hit me in the head. The instructor said, you know, you may be thinking, why do I need to go to a Bible study? Yeah, I was, right? I don't need to go there. I don't want to do that with people I don't know. But remember that you're training to become a pastor, and the thing is, maybe you're there for those people. Well, that was like a revelation. You mean the home group's not about me? You know, like it's not about me going there. Like if I feel like it and if it's going to bless me, I should go there. But if not, like I'm not going to go. Like, wait a minute, I'm going to Bible school so that I can help people, you know, find God. And I won't go to a home group to help those people. Like I was challenged. And I'll tell you, for years I've used that story in our church. Every church I've led, I've used that multiple times to talk to people about going to home group or life groups or micro church, whatever it is. I said, hey, you know what? It's not about you. It's about those people. We often turn that around, right? We don't focus on that. And this passage is telling us that. It's saying, let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, I come from Calgary, Alberta. It's the home of the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth. Yeah, anybody ever watched that or been there? Or a few people. Not a lot of excitement in the room about it, but that's okay. I'm excited about it, all right? Anyway, so, but because I'm from Calgary, I mean, spurring is a big deal. I, you know, we just had the Calgary Stampede, and I watched a bunch of the rodeo each night on TV. I like to watch it. And so, you know, those guys, when they're riding the buck and bronx, I mean, they get more points if they spur. You know, they're spurring the horse the whole time. And that gets the horse going, and that gets them more points. And so spurring, to me, there's some aggressiveness to it. So, you know, we're challenged here. Like, we need to spur one another on. We need to stir other people up. We need to encourage them, and we need encouragement to do what God's called us to do. And so it's telling us to do that. And then it says, let us not give up meeting together. So you see the connection there. The connection is we have a role to spur and encourage one another. And because of that, we should not give up meeting with other people. So it's not just about, you know, I should be meeting with other people because they're going to encourage me and build me up. Yes, that's going to happen. But we need to really think, what am I bringing? What am I doing when I go to that meeting? What has God given me to give somebody? And I think that's what we should be looking at every gathering we go to. Every time we meet, I think we should go in ahead of time thinking, who today is going to need me to bless them? And how can I, what words in my heart that I might bring today and give to somebody? I think if we all had that mindset, you know, there would never be a bad meeting, would there? There would never be like, oh, that wasn't so good. You know, it was average. The worship, yeah, it was okay. I mean, that just, I can't handle it when people say the worship was okay. You know what? Like, you had an opportunity to worship God, and it was up to you, right? And you need to use it. Anyway, I'm not going to go on and on and preach about it. But the reason I'm sharing that is because tonight what we want to do is we want to hear from some people and what they're doing by bringing what God has spoken to them this week or what's happening in their life right now, something that's real to them. What they're doing is they're encouraging you. They're ministering to you, and that's how it works. And you can take away these nuggets and be encouraged. But then, here's the deal, you and I are called to go from here and do the same thing for others. And that's how the church is built, and that's how we grow in ministry together, right? All right, enough said. So we're going to start off with Luke Eicher from Grace Church in Sturgis, Michigan. I want to welcome Luke up. Come on up. Now, just before Luke starts, there was going to be a clock. There's a clock that, yeah, I know, there's a wipe there. Anyway, there's a clock that will be there. There it is. Oh, you can pause it, though. He's losing precious seconds while I speak. Okay, you can restart it. We'll restart it. Anyway, so 5 minutes per person. It'll wind down, and then I'll just quickly come up and introduce the next guy.
All right. In 5 minutes, I'm going to share a testimony and have an altar call. How's that for your first speaker? The last year for me has been about reprioritizing my life and reordering my inner world. Which has had a lot to do with slowing down and doing less. I found that I had been doing a lot of things for God, but I hadn't been prioritizing being with God. And so for a year now, I've set my alarm clock an hour early. I get up, I spend time with God. I'm not perfect at it, but it has changed my life. And I think I could probably stand here today and say that I'm in a better place with God now than I have been my entire life. I just feel like a new person that has just really transformed my life. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you need to, prioritize the presence of God in your life. Like, how else are you receiving the grace of God on a daily basis? We need the grace of God. We need to walk in that. We need to step into that. So that's been really big for me. I've always been a doer, and I've been learning how to be and how to spend time in God's presence. And then out of that, I can do some stuff as well. In my morning quiet time, I was poked and prodded by the Lord recently. And so I just want to share that and then take us right into an altar call. In your seat kind of altar call. But I was reading through scriptures, and I've been reading like an Old Testament, a Psalm, and a New Testament. And I was reading through John, and I got to John 14, and I read a scripture. I want to read it for you here, and then I just want to talk about it a little bit. So John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And I distinctly remember stopping when I read that and questioning myself, do I still believe that? I grew up in a faith home, a faith environment, faith and just claiming and coming to God with big, bold prayers was a part of the culture I grew up in. But I've gone through disappointments. I've gone through unanswered prayers. I've gone through hurt and pain, and I think over the years, my faith in that scripture has been eroded somewhat. And as I really reflected on it, as I've pondered on it, I think I have gone to praying safe prayers instead of praying faith prayers. So it's kind of like, you know, instead of going and asking my father for a trip to Disney World, I go to dad and say, hey, dad, can I sleep in my own bed tonight? That's a sure thing, right? Instead of going for the faith, I go for the safe. And it's humbling to admit as a pastor that I just had to be honest with myself and say, I think I've slipped into safe prayers instead of faith prayers. And I don't know if I'm ready to quite deal with that. Well, Jesus doesn't give us the option, because I read on through John in the book of John. He says almost the exact same thing three more times. John, let me just read them. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory. John 15:16-17. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. One more time, John 16:23. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. And I just want to ask you tonight, what is the whatever that you have been neglecting to ask God for? What is the whatever that God, that you've been putting off? You're like, that's too risky to ask God for that. I've been hurt. The answer's been no. There's been silence. I'm going to safe prayer mode. And I just believe that tonight we need to ask for the whatever again. We need to pray faith prayers and not safe prayers. And so even coming to camp, I knew that God was going to ask me to pray for healing, and that God was going to ask me to pray for miracles, and that God was going to ask me to pray for big things. And so 22 seconds left. If you have something that you've been putting off and not asking God for, I want to ask you to stand up. I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. If there's something that you've just been kind of like, I'm protecting myself here. I don't want to go out on a limb. I don't want to take a risk. I think there's more of you. It could be a physical thing. It could be a financial thing. It could be a calling thing. It could be a family or relational thing. Could be a job thing. It could just be an emotional or mental thing. I don't know what it is, but I just believe that God wants to stir us up to ask again. Ask again. So, Lord, we come to you right now and we ask again. Lord, you said to ask for whatever we want in your name. And so, Lord, we're asking because you said you'll do it. And Lord, sometimes we know the answer is no, or sometimes the answer is not yet. And we're okay with that, God. We're going to rest in your goodness. But Lord, we're going to ask. We're going to ask. We're not going to say no for you. We're going to come to you with our prayers and requests and our petitions and the things that you've put in our hearts and the dreams that you've given us and our hurts and our pains and our areas of lack and our areas of concern. Lord, we're coming to you right now and we're asking in faith in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that you would bring healing, miracles, signs and wonders, provision, promotion. Lord, that you would work out the details, that you would untangle the mess that we're in. Lord, I pray for relational healing, for mental and emotional healing. Lord, I pray that you would just answer the cries of our heart. And Lord, in all of this, we rest in the fact that you are the Father of heavenly lights and that you give good gifts to your children. And we trust in your goodness, and we thank you for the testimony that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And so, Lord, we're confident and we're secure in our relationship with you, that your plans are best. And we submit to that, God. But we ask. We ask the big prayer of faith tonight. Lord, help us to have faith to continue to ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, that's a fantastic five-minute message. It's just getting going. Good job. Thank you, Luke. We're going to have Jenny Cana now, next generation pastor at Harvest City Church. Where's Jenny? Give her a big clap. Here she comes.
Thank you. I'd just like to share with you two things that God has shown me in the past month. And at the end of June, I went on my first ever mission trip to Gulu, Uganda. And it was quite an experience. I was incredibly nervous and afraid. Honestly, I had never experienced anything to do with the demonic before. And just an FYI, if you're ever nervous about that, do not go to Joel Wells about it. It's not a good idea. Joel's idea of reassurance is to tell you these stories, watch my face go white and say, well, I won't tell you about my very first experience, and then tell me about his very first experience. So the first night came and I was so nervous. I was terrified of seeing something that I'd never seen before. But that first night, Joel preached the gospel and he did a salvation call, and I just watched from the side hundreds of people come forward, and I was sobbing. I was just overwhelmed with emotion at seeing this sight of people just standing at the altar and arms raised and their faces lifted, and it just overwhelmed me because I feel like in Dave's message last night, a part of the spiritual apathy that I've been feeling is like I've lost a bit of my first love. I've lost a little bit of thinking that Jesus is the only thing that truly matters. And when I watched these people, and by the fourth and final night, they dropped the ropes and they were running. They were running to that altar to receive Jesus. And I feel like God has just been stirring in me. I need to return to that place of just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. That is the only thing that I need. And when I have that and when I put you first, Jesus, nothing else can overcome that. Nothing else will beat me. There's only you. And then the second part of the night after the salvation call was a time of healing and deliverance. And I know there's some people that were there with me, and it was crazy. We had the biggest crowds that Lyft has ever seen, with reaching over 15,000 by the final night. And for us newbies, there were quite a few people who had never been on mission before. Any one of us would tell you that when you stand and you watch people just manifesting everywhere, when you are hearing this call of releasing people and the devil not having a hold anymore, and you just see person after person scream and manifest, and you have your hands on someone and they go, or you look over at what we would call the pit, and there's 20 people on the ground being delivered, and the ushers are coming and like throwing someone on the ground and running back in the crowd to get the next person. It was that crazy. I should have been overwhelmed with fear. I am watching the supernatural before my very eyes. I'm watching demon-possessed people. But when you stand there and you watch someone cast out a demon in the name of Jesus, let me tell you, there is no fear. There should have been fear in the natural, but there is no fear when you can see the power of Jesus' name. And I watched the power of Jesus' name in a way I had never seen before. I used the name of Jesus in a way I have never used before. And it was just, it was... I've gone. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It was mind-blowing. I couldn't quite understand. I'd lived in such a bit of a comfortable world, and to go there and to watch that and to feel God use you in a different way, and then it was nothing about you. It was about the name of Jesus was just incredible. And I feel like there's a new sense of authority. There's an authority in the name of Jesus, and I don't know if I've used it. I feel like I've paid lip service for so long to, there's nothing greater than the name of Jesus, but I don't really believe it because a circumstance comes along and I feel like it defeats me or it defeats where I'm at. And now I'm like, okay, there is nothing greater than the name of Jesus. I was stood at this altar at the message last night for fear and anxiety and stress. And I'm like, do you know what? You need to bow at the name of Jesus. That doesn't need to have a hold on me anymore. And yes, I might fight that battle, but if I can cast out a demon in Jesus' name, then I'm sure going to cast out something in my own life in Jesus' name. So that's just... And, you know, it's amazing how God works, because that song Champion that we sang earlier and the words in the bridge, I have the authority Jesus has given me. I want to hold on to this. I want to operate in that authority every day, not just on a mission trip, but I want to use it in my life. I want to use it for my family and for everybody around me and the next generation that I'm supposed to be leading. I want them to know the authority of Jesus. I want to send them on missions, but I want them to be on mission every day and just take hold of that authority and not let it ever go, because what's greater than the name of Jesus? So, yeah, thank you.
Wow, that's such a good reminder. Such a good reminder to use the name above all names. Thanks so much, Jenny. What a wonderful speaker she is. All right, our next speaker is Joel Purdy. And Joel and Dee Purdy pastor with Val and me at Forerunner Church in Calgary. He's such an awesome guy. He's served us in so many ways. Give it up for Joel.
Well, I got an introduction, but Dee and I have been in Calgary since July of 2019. We were in Cranbrook for 11 years with Frank and Jody before that, and we got there just in time for the pandemic. So it's been a fantastic couple years, just getting resettled in the city we grew up in, but had been gone from for 11 years. And it's been quite an adventure. With Ian and Val, we've been transitioning our church. We've been exploring and expanding, trying to explore some fresh expressions of the church. One of the things that Ian said earlier, and he said a couple times, I think, throughout this week, is microchurch. I've had a ton of questions about what microchurch is. These are some of the things that we're exploring. What we call microchurch is just smaller expressions of the church. So I get the question all the time, well, is that a life group? Well, it's sort of like a life group. Is it like a Bible study? Well, it's sort of like a Bible study. Really, it's just a smaller expression of the church. So it's a full expression, though. So we don't just study a passage of Scripture. We're really a small group, a small church, a small group of people that are passionately following Jesus in the context of community for the sake of mission. And yes, for the sake of mission in Africa, but also for the sake of mission next door. And so as I was going to share, I actually planned a beautiful five-minute message. My wife this morning said, well, what I really feel like is I feel like you should just give voice to what you feel the Holy Spirit wants you to give voice to. And how many people know that you need people in your life like that? My wife is a person like that for me, and that is terrifying as an idea. But nevertheless, I felt like when I came up here tonight that I wanted to give voice to the fringes tonight, to those of us that might be unsure how we fit, if we're honest. We might be unsure how we fit at family camp. We might be unsure how we fit in LifeLink. So we might be unsure how we fit even in our churches or even in our current expressions of church. And what I would want to encourage us in that is maybe we don't in some ways feel like we fit because we're not supposed to. And that's okay. And that's okay. What I feel called to give voice to tonight is God is doing a new thing. We've been talking about it for 2 years. And here the pandemic sort of slows down a little bit. And we go, well, can we just go back to the old thing? Like maybe the new thing's not really coming. Or we don't really want a fresh wind. We don't want a fresh expression. We don't want to do whatever we feel like the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. Let's just do the thing we've done for years and years and years. But maybe for some of us, what the Lord is stirring in us, the reason why we don't totally feel like we fit, is because we're not supposed to. What I feel called to give voice to tonight is the pioneers, the explorers, the adventurers, those that might go out and even explore aspects of the church or explore aspects of the kingdom of God in ways that are foreign to some of us. That there is a place for that. You see, friends, in the last 2 years, the world has changed. It has absolutely changed. It's not just in the last 2 years. If we're really honest, even in the church, the last 10 years, last 15 years, the world has changed. And what I believe is that we are entering a season where we need pioneers again. We need explorers again. We need adventurers again. I would even say we need missionaries again that carry that heart that Jenny was just talking about. We need people that are willing to go where no one else will go. Now, the difficult thing within that, and even for us, I know as a church leader in my own context, we lead a small body of Christ. I would go, how in the world are we supposed to send pioneers? How in the world are we supposed to do this? The picture that I have in my mind is like when the settlers took off across Canada and across the United States. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe the government officials in New York City thought to ourselves, if all of the people come to New York, but they don't stay in New York, they just travel across the country, we'll never grow, we'll never expand, we'll never develop, we'll never see anything happen in New York City. But did anything happen in New York City? Maybe. And just the picture that I had in my mind, the prophetic picture I would even say that I felt like the Lord gave me is for some of our churches, we're supposed to be like New York City. And what that means is that people are supposed to come in, they're supposed to be equipped, they're supposed to be built up, and then they're supposed to be sent on mission. They're supposed to be pioneers, they're supposed to be explorers. We don't need to keep them in, we can send them out. Years ago, a pastor named J.D. Greer said a statement that has stuck with me, and I feel like we're coming into that season, maybe even as LifeLinks. The statement that he said is, the true impact of a church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. So both us as churches, are we willing to send out pioneers, explorers, and missionaries? But then also for those of us that have received prophetic words like me for 10 years that say, I don't really fit the mold. I'm a pioneer, I'm an explorer, just 2 days ago, Jeff was like, yeah, you don't really fit this thing, the normal thing, Joel, I don't really know. And he spoke into that, he said I was a pioneer, he actually said I was a homesteader. For those of us that have received those words, friends, I think the time is now.
That was great. Wow. What a good word. Thanks, Joel. Awesome. Speaking of pioneers, we're going to have Cindy Letella come up. Moses and Cindy pioneered Pneuma Church in Spokane, Washington. What was that in 2020?
Yeah.
That was right in the pandemic. Wow. They pioneered a church in the pandemic. Well done. God bless you, Cindy.
All right, well, I'm going to share a quick story. I don't know if you know, Moses and I are grandparents. We have a grandson who's 4, and his name is Ezekiel Wilder Romero, and we call him Zeke Wild, and that name fits him very well. He would have been like Ezra up here, breaking his own little moves. I planned this amazing trip for my daughter Rebecca and my grandson Zeke, and I plan to take them to Silverwood. And Silverwood is a theme park between Spokane and Coeur d'Alene, and they've got rides and they've got a water park. And I was like, this is going to be like the best day of his life, right? I thought he would come away thinking, I love Silverwood, I want to live there, you know, like my grandma's the best. Well, so we go to Silverwood, and he has an amazing day. And at the end, my daughter's like, well, do you want to get ice cream? And I was like, well, you could get ice cream, or you could pick out a little toy in the gift shop. And so we go to the gift shop, and he's looking around. He decided he wanted a toy, but he is obsessed with Transformers. Like, he can hum the whole, like, theme song from the movie. And he has so many Transformers. He's got, like, 5 Bumblebees and 4 Optimus Primes, and he literally has too many to play with. But they didn't have Transformer in the gift shop. So as we're walking away from Silverwood, and I'm like, Zeke, what did you think about Silverwood? He's like, well, they didn't have any Transformers. They didn't really have any good toys. That was his takeaway. And it definitely makes me think about something God's been really working on me about. And that's just idolatry. And the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. And an idol is an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. So it could be a person or a thing that is greatly admired, loved, or revered. And for my grandson, Transformers are his idol. Like, he acts like a Transformer. He wants to play Transformer. And that is the only thing that he thinks is going to make him happy is more Transformers. He just cannot get enough, right? And no matter how many he has, it's not enough. And so Jesus has been exposing for me idols in my heart, my own comfort, things, my image, success, even as a pastor's wife or a pastor, as a wife or as a mother. And Dave talked about fear and anxiety and control. And I had never even thought of those as idols before. I used to always think, I don't have idols. I don't build statues and worship them, you know. But he's just been revealing to me how much I need his word daily. And as Nathan said, some of us need to sharpen our sword. And Dave really commended us to get in the word, just do it, right? Even if you don't feel like it, just read it. And so he's been calling me into his word. And it's so easy with social media and with the constant agendas of the world being depicted to us as the truth or the way to find joy and the way to find happiness to really think that those things are going to satisfy us, and they don't. I don't know if you've read any statistics about the effect of social media and the effect of even iPhones after they were released, but depression, anxiety, you know, especially with girls, it's just It's just really been awful. And that's idolatry. That is an idol. And Jesus did not create us to live that life. So just as I took Zeke to Silverwood for this amazing adventure, and he walked away thinking, I just want a transformer, even though we already had so many and it was never going to be enough, right? God has an adventure for us to walk in. And unless we root ourselves in his word and his truth daily, we're not going to know what that amazing adventure is, and we're going to miss it when it happens. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will. So we can fill our minds with so much, and that we don't see the amazing adventure God has called us into, and we don't live in that space, that liminal space, right, that God has called us into. And Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to close with this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So my prayer for us is that the Holy Spirit would expose the idols in our hearts, that he would give us a hunger for his word, and that he would show us the amazing adventure that he has for us.
Amen. Thank you. Wow, so good. Anybody enjoying this? Is this amazing? Wow. There's a lot. You can pack a lot into 5 minutes. That's great, Sydney. Okay, I'm going to ask Herman Kuhorn to come up. Herman is a pastor. He and Barbara pastor New Life Church in Creston, B.C. He's a great guy. We really love him. So, Herman, bless you.
Well, I just got to say that this week has been such a confirming and affirming week for me. All the messages have really spoken into questions that I've had, into things that I've been thinking about. And for a guy who lives out in the sticks of southern British Columbia, you can feel kind of lonely at times. And sometimes you wonder, the thoughts that you're having, are they kind of out here? Are they God thoughts? But this week has really brought a solidity to some of these thoughts and these feelings that I've been having over the last number of years. You know, I really feel like as I was watching through COVID, what was happening around us, and I think probably all of us can relate, and I'm speaking from the perspective of a pastor. So first of all, COVID for me, that season through COVID really was a time of deepening for me. It was a revealing time where God was showing me things about myself that I did not like. That I did not want to see, but I knew I needed to see them. And when he revealed these things to me, I actually realized that, you know, I preach quite regularly in our church. I'm the only pastor in our church, so I preach most Sundays. And I realized that a lot of times I wasn't really practicing what I preached. I had learned a lot of things. Again, I was raised in a Christian home by godly parents. I've had the Bible in my life all the way through. I know a lot about the Bible, but I really realized that I knew a lot, but some of the things that I even preached, I wasn't actually walking out. And you go, oh my goodness, that's horrible. That's hypocrisy. Actually, you're right. It is. And God was revealing hypocrisy in my own life. And it's painful when you get to experience the hypocrisy that you actually walk in. And I think at times there wasn't even an intentionality to walk in that. But as I was even observing the greater church through COVID, I realized that we know a lot of stuff about the Bible, but really we weren't walking it out very well. And that actually, it grieved my spirit in a deep way. But then as I was thinking about COVID, and I was thinking about, you know, the pain, you know, just accept the pain and move on. God was actually dealing, I've experienced a lot of pain like a lot of other people did. But the pain was so deep that it actually provoked me to step into a place of repentance and change. And as I was watching the church in a lot of different ways crumble around me, I realized that even though we know a lot, we weren't very mature as the church. And through COVID, Dave talked about the enemy used COVID as an attack, and I fully believe that. But I believe that anything that the enemy means as evil, God takes and he uses for good. And I really believe that God is desiring to see his church come into a deeper understanding of his word, a deeper maturity in his word, so that when the storms of life blow, we will actually not be blown like a reed in the wind. And for me, that was a deep thing. And because I value integrity, that's one of my core values. And when I realized that when these hard moments and these hard decisions came through this COVID time, when we had to deal with these intersecting challenges of things that I didn't want to do, but I know what the Word of God said I needed to do, it got to the place where I had to reconcile something within myself. And I kind of, there was a scripture, I don't know if I have it here, but there was a scripture that actually speaks to this, and it says that there will come a day when people will just want to hear the things that tickle their ears. And I realized in my own heart that I like to hear the things that I like to hear, but the hard things I want to push away. And I think a lot of the people that left in our churches wrestled with the same things. And but I also believe, I'm not used to a timer, truthfully, so this is making me nervous. 40 seconds, but I'm going to do a 10-minute prayer after, so that'll buy me another 10. I really believe that the Lord is wanting to deepen his church. I really believe that the Lord is wanting to bring his church back to the core of his word. Without his word, what have we got? We start to tell ourselves our own ideas. The ways of man are always right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the motives of his heart. And so I just want to encourage all of us, as Cindy just said, let's get back into the Word. Let's make the Word our foundation. Let's stand on the Word, and when the storms come, we will not be blown away. Amen.
Good word. Good encouragement. All right. I'm going to ask Jody Hackett to come up. So Jody and Frank, pastor, Connect Church in Cranbrook. Give her a big clap.
Right. So this is not my comfortable spot to be. My comfortable spot to be is one-on-one, having conversations with people. But when Ian asked me, I believe there's some people in here that I've been challenging all week to be bold, to step out and do things. And then Ian asked me that, and I'm like, yes, yes, I will do this. So I'm going to start in January. We had someone come into our church that, let's just say it was a strong spiritual attack that came against our leadership. And something in me rose up. I warred and I prayed and I discerned and I was bold with things that I never would have said on our leadership team. And we'll fast forward a few months to then I got sick, then I got COVID, and then I got another cold after COVID. And since then, I've had a pain in my back. I've had a pain. I haven't been able to take a deep breath. It has started to limit what I can do. So I show up here. Should be no surprise. But pre-service prayer happens, and Jeff Barnhart starts praying and says, I just feel breakthrough for people this week. I see a breaking off of apathy. And the minute he says that, I feel a crunch in my back. And I could breathe again. That I haven't done in months. Yeah, give God a clap, so good. So then I think, oh, this is a great week now. I'm good, I'm doing good. Until Dave spoke last night. And said, I realized, yeah, there was some physical ways that apathy was coming out in me, but there was a spiritual apathy that had settled. See, after this warfare happened, I stopped reading my Bible. Once it eased off, I'm like, oh, I don't have to pray as much. And the truth is that I did. And I came here having to break off a lot of apathy. And I think some people here had that break off of them this week too. And what's going to happen, what I believe, is if you've had that happen this week, you're going to go home and you're going to be apathy breakers in your own church with people that you see. And I realized too, because I was all of June, I was reading in Hebrews about all the people of faith. And that there's a list. We all know the list. Moses and Abraham, and it lists people. And I just kind of was reading it like, okay, yeah, they did that. Yeah, okay, yeah. I didn't really care, to be honest. And I'm someone who really is filled with faith normally. But what I realized is that season had taken a toll on me. But I opened up my Bible this morning, and I was reading it again. And it says, at the beginning, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. And I felt like God say, there's days of new that his people are going to earn a good reputation. And there is people in here that are going to leave here, and by faith, Jackie is going to start prophesying over her children. And not just her children, but all the friends that come into her house that her children bring. By faith, Marissa, you are going to write a song, and you are going to be bold to say, our church needs to sing this song as an anthem in our city. It is by faith that Justin boldly just said to Frank, hey man, I just need a few minutes. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. And he did it. And I believe that something stirred in him that hadn't been there for a while. And that it is by faith you are going to start walking those steps. And I just really feel that all of us, I could go around this whole room. And I think God has a by faith statement for each one of you. And so I just want to thank you, Ian, for stretching me. because I know we all have that by faith moment. And it's time to start living with a hot, not cold, not lukewarm, but there is a hot fire that we are supposed to live with. There is an energy in this room in worship that I have not felt since COVID started. And I think he's refining us. He's refining us, and we're going to become people of faith that are going to do new things, bold things for his glory.
Oh, thank you. Well, I guess the real takeaway is, what are we each called to do by faith? What is that statement for us? That was so good, Jody. Thank you so much. Looks like you've been preaching a long time. Really good. All right. Last but not least, we have Dallas Beitler here. He's from Rock Church in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. He and his wife, Leah. So, yeah. Bless you, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to hear somebody from Saskatchewan is not the least. That's for all the Albertans out there. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. I have at times despised the small beginnings that God called me to. And there may be some things that may be feeling small right now for you coming out of COVID. As they say, 20 to 50% of people won't be returning to churches or anytime soon. But the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, or in this case, in a lot of our places, the work restart, perhaps. In the mid-90s, Leah and I got to be part of a church plant team. It was a small church, started with a dozen people. I grew up in small town Saskatchewan, and I couldn't wait to move to Saskatoon to be a part of something big. And at the first potluck, there was red checkered tablecloths on the table, and I just wanted to vomit in the corner saying, I'm stuck in small town Saskatchewan, even though I'm in the big city. In 2010, we took over the church as lead pastors. We were burnt out. There was 28 people at that time calling it home. We were doing a children's and youth ministry that was running over 100 kids, and we were sucking wind. And I've been reminded of a few things this week. To celebrate and to repent of and to turn away from despising small beginnings and to do in regards to moving forward. The first thing was after Frank spoke in What You See Is What You Get, I was sitting down after and thinking about it, and I just felt conviction from God as I thought about what did I see, what am I seeing, and I'm seeing things through my mind as mediocre. When God is doing awesome things and people are asking me how it's going, and I'm saying it's good or it's okay, when it has actually been going fabulous for us through COVID. And I'm shy and embarrassed to say how good it's going because I know how difficult it's been for so many people. There was a time I was doing this in times past. Somebody would come up to me and I'd say, we're generally encouraged, and my wife would kick me as she vomited to the side because she was so mad at me for talking so minimalistic about our God and what was going on. You see, in this last year coming out of COVID, we went to two services. when we didn't know just a decade ago if we could hang on to one. We went online. We have the largest staff we've ever had. We just had 125 kids and youth at 3 weeks of camp in Elbow, Saskatchewan. 99% come from non-Christian, less privileged, no Christian support in their lives. God brought a person to our church a year ago who has been a communications director for a large multinational company, and he's taken me on and doing executive coaching, which is a direct answer of my prayer for the last 5 years. Of God, help me get above the minutia and all the details and all the logistics so I can become who you want me to become for the next thing of what I'm supposed to be leading, what we're supposed to be doing. And so God has been challenging me to speak boldly and to testify hard and loud about his goodness. And so I'm happy and very nervous to testify that God is doing great things in our midst under our leadership. Let's go. Online church, some of us love it, some of us hate it. We have a good week, we get 50 views, an amazing week, we get 100 views, but that's like zero in the world of YouTube views, right? So does it matter to the online church? One of our little girls that comes to program during the week, we run vans, pick them up, feed them, teach them about Jesus, give them a safe place to experience friends and Christian mentors. And this one little girl just struggled so much, she couldn't come back to program for over a month, and we were doing one-on-one visits. And one time when going to that house, the sister said, "Yeah, she watches your Sunday TV program every week." And this is a girl that can't sit down, can't talk respectful, can't do anything, that she had to be removed from program and just go to one-on-one visits. And she's watching adult church on the weekend regularly. We had a phone call a few weeks ago from a lady who said this a month ago. Whoa, that's already 13 seconds. A year ago, I was a backslider. I was in a head-on motorcycle accident. And before I had that accident, God had showed me I was going to have that accident. And so when I was heading into the accident, I was actually at peace. And I came out of that accident, and I rededicated my life to Jesus, and I've been watching your church for a year. And this lady had been already donating and all this kind of stuff. And she's watching and taking it in and being discipled, and then finally reaches out to let us know. And so we just don't know what's going on. And so praise God for that. And then finally, because I've been entrusted with wrapping things up, how did I get this privileged spot? I'm going to finish my third point. Moses said this morning, as he wrapped up, with gentleness in leadership. And I've been thinking, God, you're doing this amazing stuff. What type of leader am I supposed to become? And I felt getting tired going into the summer, looking forward to holidays, looking forward to coming to camp. I'm getting a little crispier. I got to be a little more aggressive. I got to be a little bit more firm. I got to hold things a little more firmly. And it's going the exact opposite way of gentleness and humility of what Moses was talking about this morning. And so I had to repent of that. And it was such a good reminder today. And it's taking me back to two statements, of which I'll close with. 10 years ago, a friend told me, when he was giving me counsel, he said, "Go after the ones nobody wants, and you'll end up getting the ones everybody wants." It's a horrible church growth strategy. It's long. It's painful. It's so true. God is bringing all these people to help support and facilitate the work of the ministry of reaching people that need to be reached. And then the first time I met the lovely Val Bird, she won't even remember this maybe, and I hope I'm telling the story right, but she was checking out at the Medicine Hat conference where we just had snuck into. And she made a statement kind of like this, which has been one of our theme banners over our lives. But she said, "Love the hell out of people." To literally love the hell out of people. And it's been our mandate, and we do something called Messy Church, and we try to go after it. But the amazing thing is, when you go after loving people to love the hell out of them, God sometimes shows up and does exactly that thing. Go for it.
Wow. That's fantastic. Thanks, Dallas. It's good to celebrate, isn't it? Isn't it good to hear all this? Does it make you fired up? I think what we should do, Ryan, is we should celebrate for a bit here. We should sing some songs of worship, and then after that, maybe we'll close off with a bit of prayer. Somebody was saying earlier, I think it was Attila, he said, you know, we should pray for healing. I think you're right, Attila. We should pray for healing. I don't think we've prayed for physical healing this week. So maybe we'll have some prayer time right after this. But we need to party for a bit. I'm all pumped up now. These are fantastic words. So let's do that. Let's celebrate. Let's worship the Lord.